Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very riveting conversations during the commercial break. We learn all about our coworkers and brands of clothes that I had never heard of before. I guess I'm the only one, too, judging by some of these messages here in the chatty house. My bad.
It is pretty shocking you've never heard of Carhartt.
Shocking, really?
Yeah, like, I guess I'm trying to think of you.
Like, where would D'Lo ever come across someone wearing Carhartt or anything like that?
Or be in a store that carries Carhartt.
Yeah. Like, look.
You don't spend a lot of time at, like, Ace Hardware, huh?
Oh, God, no. The Home Depot thing, I just ordered to be delivered. Like, I'm the type of person who...
You're the best person I know.
No, when you go to... Like, I'm the type of person who, if I walked into Home Depot, everybody immediately knows I'm not supposed to be there. Like, sir, you're lost.
Sure.
Just ask an associate to take you to the aisle, because we all know you're going to walk down looking up, trying to figure out where the nails are, knowing you don't know what type of nail you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Just ask for help. Or better yet, order it and have it delivered to your house, because you do not belong here. Like, the people who go to Home Depot, they're known by, like, their first name. Like, hey, right. Kyle. Hey, man, come on in. You're working on that bathroom again, huh? How's the fence? That's like Scooter. Like, I bet Scott knows everyone at every Home Depot, every Lowe's, every...
He might own Home Depot.
He might. He might. But the amount of time Scott did... Hey, I got to run to Home Depot, man. I'll be back.
He's got the Scott's pro back. Definitely got the pro rewards at Home Depot.
Oh, 100%.
The thing, the worst part about me walking into Home Depot is, you would think I present as a person that would know exactly what I'm doing in Home Depot. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's tough.
I have no clue.
It's tough.
So the workers are walking by me like, hey, can I? Oh, okay.
Why you guys think I would know this is amazing? Because, like, they're showing videos of, like guys with, like, drills and hammers and work gloves in their hand. Does that look like me?
Well, no.
No.
It's just so popular. I thought that you would have, at some point, it would have... fallen into your orbit.
I ordered a new Traeger because mine went south.
Damn, RIP.
And I ordered a new one and debated for hours on whether I was going to pay $179 to have someone assemble it. That's how bad it is. Now, for what it's worth, I didn't.
We just do not live some of our lives at all.
Hey. Tomorrow, I'm going to regret the fact that I didn't, but I didn't.
Go get yourself a Carhartt t-shirt and put that grill together.
Oh, hey, that'd be kind of fire.
Where would I find this?
Seth's closet.
Seth, hey, I need a Carhartt t-shirt. I'll bring it back Tuesday.
Yep. Seth. Well, they've got a Metallica Carhartt team.
What did you call it?
Carhartt? Metallica?
Okay.
Yeah, they team together to...
That's exactly what it is. I think they're just... They have a whole, like, NFL line.
So
I thought at some point...
Play Enter Sandman as I'm putting the Traeger together?
Exactly.
Yeah, and a Carhartt
hyped
shirt.
Hyped up.
Yeah. Okay. 1,000%.
All right.
I think that was Mariano Rivera's walk-up song?
Yep.
It is. Yep. Brock Lesnar's UFC.
Totally.
This is not why I asked you to stay, by the way.
No, it's fine. I have another story to tell you about being misplaced in a store. You know, I'm a big candle guy.
Yes.
Love candles. I have different scents for each season.
You would love what my sister got me for my birthday.
What did she get you?
It's like a 50-pound candle. It's about this big.
I love this.
I shouldn't say it's 50 pounds. It's $50. She got it from Costco. God. It's absurd.
I love this for
But you. She gave it to me as a joke, not realizing I love this.
Like, I am burning this all tonight.
Yes.
So I go to Bath & Body Works a lot. Shout out to Bath & Body Works. Great store. Because the olfactory sense matters a lot to me in my home. Like, I want to make sure that my home, A, smells good, and B, matches the season. When it's 106, I don't need pumpkin smell. That's crazy, nice. Right? Okay, so I go into to Bath & Body Works the other day, and I walk in, and the lady goes, are you looking for the men's sale? ma'am, I just beelined it to the candles. I know exactly what I'm doing here. And I go, I'm sorry? And she goes, the sale on men's products. Is that what you're looking for? Like, no. And so I just unleash my 4-minute spiel about the candles I do have and the candles I currently don't have and the ones I'm looking for and the scents I like and how I match them to seasons.
That was to show her you know what you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. And she went, okay, well, if you need anything, let me know. I'm like, don't. I didn't walk in here. I didn't walk into that store. Here's what bothers me. I didn't walk into that store like looking around like I do in Home Depot, right? Mm-hmm. Where no one will help me.
Right.
I didn't walk in there like that. The
people at Home Depot resent people like us.
Yes.
You don't belong here. Get out.
Yeah. They're like... No, we can't help you find it. You need to know where sprinkler heads are. First of all, that's not what they're called. It's not what you're looking for. Go home. Order it online. Watch YouTube. No, but I walk in there. I beelined it for the candles. I know exactly where I'm going in that store. I didn't stop and look around. I didn't even glance at anything. I walked straight. And she went, are you looking for the men's sale? Like, no, I'm very clearly on a mission for candles, lady.
What's the men's sale?
They have men's products.
In
Bath and Body Works.
Really?
What the men's products are is they just smell like man stuff.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to be pretty
hey,
good today. That's a flat.
Hey, come
that's,
on,
I'm
man.
Just call that a false
what
flat
does that
today,
even
yeah.
mean?
It's I so
what does it smell like to you, Kyle?
It's like rich mahogany. And like leather bound books
smells
and just
bad.
Right.
Leather bound
yeah,
book smells
yeah.
horrible.
Whiskey and
what do you
coffee.
Wear? Oh, I'm wearing leather bound
whiskey
book right
and coffee. Like it's that, or they have one called like Ocean. That's just like a like it. They're trying to imitate what you might get in like a cologne, right? So it's that. But here's the BS about after doing this whole thing about how mad I am that I get to the counter and they're like, "Hey, on your rewards, you have a coupon for a free item up to $18.95." And I went, oh, cool. Let me go back and grab one. And I landed on one of the men's lotions. Vanilla Noir is what it's called.
What's the noir?
Black. Don't ask me. It's just what
I wasn't
it
going
is.
To. I absolutely was not going to. But yet, here we are. I actually asked Kyle to stay longer for this. This was it. Boy, this
what
is,
did you what did you want to talk about?
Well,
can we fit it in 3 minutes?
We pause. We can. It's going to be an awkward.
No,
transition.
No. That's
done.
Another one. Yeah, that's another. What are you doing?
This is egregious.
Gosh,
this is bad.
This
what,
is tough.
What was
for
that
me.
Dude who played for the Steelers?
James Harrison?
No. The one
Vontaze Burfict.
Vontaze Burfict.
He played for the Bengals.
Oh, he played for the Bengals. Yeah, he just destroyed
all the
Steelers.
He tried to murder all the Steelers.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're having a Vontaze Burfict level performance right here.
It's tough for me.
Again, this is an...
Game's damn near over in 2 minutes, and you keep getting 15-yard penalties.
This is just
I'm working on a 1st and 30 right now.
Just laid out Antonio Brown.
This is going to make it so much worse.
Oh, no.
Because I was going to ask you about Nick Bosa. So it makes it so much worse. ESPN predicted Nick Bosa at 9.5 sacks this year.
Not enough.
That was exactly the question. That's a bad season, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Unless it's 9.5 sacks because they have Bryce Huff with 10.5 and Michael Williams has 8 or 9, and then they get 3 or 4 from one of the defensive tackles, then okay. Like as long as their pass rush is effective, that's fine. But I'm totally with Kenny on this. He gets paid what he gets paid to be that dude.
Mm-hmm. And he's not.
And he's very rarely now again, the 2019 Super Bowl, he was the best player on the field for most of that game. He was amazing. Just mm-hmm. total wrecking ball. But there have been so many moments over the last several years where it's been like, hey, they need to stop right now. Where's Nick Bosa?
Yeah.
And he just doesn't. Like take over a game, so 9.5 would I struggle to find a realistic realm where 9.5 sacks for Nick Bosa is enough for the 49ers.
Yeah, it's not. That's really what I was getting to is it's simply a not. One more question for you, and I may bring this back later in the show because I'll just let you catapult the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Who has more pressure on them this season, Brock or Kyle?
Purdy for sure.
Okay.
Not for sure. Purdy is my answer.
Brock Purdy does.
Yeah. Yeah, just because he regressed a little bit last year and then got paid, and now there's this expectation of like, hey, you're going to be that guy. Okay. For Kyle Shanahan, I think if they have a down year, next year is when the seat gets hot and the pressure gets high.
Sure.
But I think he's built up enough leeway with ownership that he's not going anywhere if they have a down year. Brock, on the other hand, if he has a down year, that's going to be tough.
It's going to be a tough offseason.
Yeah.
Thank you for sticking around and telling that candle story. It was amazing. The Hall of Famer Joe Davidson is going to join us next.
Can't wait.
Thank God he's heard all of this and he hasn't hung up. So that's great news for all of us. Joe Davidson joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 13.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
20. Thrilled to be joined by the Hall of Famer, our man Joe Davidson of the Sacramento Bee. Joe D, appreciate you as always. Lots to talk about, man, and you started to tiptoe into this conversation when we were saying our hellos here, and it's Sac State. You know, obviously the season gets underway tomorrow. There's a lot to talk about with Coach Brendan Marion, Go-Go Sacramento, and all of that. But we did get some pretty big news yesterday coming from the University and Cal Expo.
How about that? And, you know, I'm a big believer, Damian, always good to see you, that it's good business to talk business. And the folks at Cal Expo knew they had a vacancy. They're not going to have FC Republic for long with the rail yards. Horse racing is no longer there, so it's an empty venue. And the CEO of Cal Expo, those folks, they reached out to Luke Wood, the president of Sacramento State, and it's good business to listen. Sac State is ambitious. They want to get a good stadium, and if it could be funded through state funds, you listen to that. I don't know if they could pull it off and have a new stadium ready for next season's kickoff. That's just such a short window, but you go for it. You see what you can do. And Luke Wood said in Chris Biederman's story, who covered it for us at the Sacramento Bee, that it wasn't going to work at Sac State. And it's only 2.5 miles or so away. Will it work? Is it too much of a disconnect? I think when you're at Sac State's position, you find a way. And will this help Sac State move up to the FBS, the highest level in college football? That is their intent. I've got questions about being an independent, which means no conference affiliation. It's going to be really hard to schedule games. But I think everybody agrees that Sac State football is trending back up with Brendan Marion. And a huge opener tomorrow, as you alluded to, but we'll see. It's going to be real curious to see what happens, and hopefully people get behind all of this. You know, Damian, let's get this working. And I think we've talked about it on this program before, that when Sac State and UC Davis are both good in football in the same year, it's excellent for this region. And it's been rare that that's happened over the decades, but it looks like that's going to be the case this year.
Joe, I think the number one thing when I saw the report from our man Chris Biederman that I didn't understand was 2026. That's 2026 is a couple months away. Like, how is that even remotely realistic?
Well, I think they're certainly hoping so. I don't think it is. I'm not in these meetings. I don't have a bulldozer or a backhoe or even a shovel. I might have a shovel. If you want to go check in the garage, I can. You're right. And they're going to have to, you know, they can't start construction on this in next June or July. It would have to start, you know, in months here by the start of 2026. And you don't want weather and mud and all of that. But we'll see. I was surprised when I first heard about this. Not surprised that they had talks, but that it could go this fast. And, we know that the Well is the revamped basketball venue on campus for new coach Mike Bibby and general manager Shaquille O'Neal. So there's a buzz, Damian, that is going on with football and basketball combined that I've never seen.
Yeah.
I've only been at the Bee since 1989, so I don't know about earlier, but there hasn't been this kind of basketball buzz ever. And I think it's all a credit to Mark Orr, the athletic director of Sacramento, born and raised, and Luke Wood, who's charismatic and ambitious, and he says what he feels. And we'll see how they could pull this off. But you're right. I just don't know if they could get it done that quick. But it's got to be at least by the 2027 season.
Is being off campus a problem?
You know, it's Sac State's always been known as a commuter school. They do have new dorms, and that helps. It's a big enrollment school. If the football team is winning, like Troy Taylor was doing in 2019, 21, 23, when they won Big Sky Conference championships before he left for Stanford, yeah. People will come. And that's just the way it is. If people are drawn to winning and Sac State was entertaining and winning, I think people will come. And you know, it's not so far away. And there's other examples. UCLA doesn't play on campus. San Diego State doesn't play on campus. I don't think the Miami Hurricanes play on campus. So, but those are big programs. FBS for since the beginning of time, and Sac State's trying to become there. But I could certainly see the argument where it could be frustrating. But Sacramento State has said, we'll have shuttle services. We'll get people over there one way or another. They'll find a way to get it done. And there's been frustrations with Hornet Stadium where there's not enough entry points to get in, and people were getting in middle of the first quarter, probably too much tailgating.
Yeah.
I've engaged in that, not when I'm on duty, but I could see the joy in that. So that's a good subplot. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Yeah, and the season gets underway tomorrow. So all of these, there's been so much talk about FBS and independence and Pac-12s and all of, you know, Mountain West, all of these different things, the off season that you, myself, and Kenny have talked about extensively, that Coach Brendan Marion have, bringing in 70-plus new players, only 6 guys retaining from the previous roster, names that you know from college football now coming to Sac State. And starting tomorrow, Joe, it's time to win games.
Yeah, and what a great opener. South Dakota State is the FCS champion, a national champion of 2022 and 2023, and good again last season. And then their coach took the Washington State job, and 16 players followed him through the transfer portal, and the entire coaching staff left. They lost 21 transfers total, but they got a bunch of guys in. So their roster has turned over. And they have a new coach. And Sac State, as you said, Damian, 73 new players. And the one thing I've noticed about Sac State and watching their 2 scrimmages and some of the practices, very active, ferocious, and fast on defense. And the defense has dominated the scrimmages, which is often the case. But so that's, you know, we keep thinking about the go-go offense and what's it going to have, and all the receivers and the running back plays. But you got to be able to play defense. And Marion and I chatted earlier this week, and he's really high on the defense. And he drops in violent and fast and ferocious. And think about football. Why do we love football so much? Why do we love it so much in high school, college, and pros? Because of the violence of it, the legalized violence of hitting and all of that. That's what's interesting. People dig that. They love touchdowns and crunching hits. And so we'll see. That's a huge test for Sac State. If they could win that game, they're big time back right on the radar. And then the next week's game is in Nevada against FBS Nevada in Reno. So tough 2 games for Coach Marion.
Joe, you have experienced this your entire career. Being on the sidelines when those guys hit each other is jarring. Like, it is it's an incredible sound that is made when athletes of that caliber run into each other that way. You talk about, that's the thing that we love. That's the thing I hate. We were standing down there. I don't think it was last season. I think it was the season before. I remember saying to Kenny, I got to get out of here. These dudes sound like they're murdering each other, man. I got to get out of here.
Oh, it's like car wrecks, and you half expect to see twisted metal and shattered glass. And I've been on sidelines for parts of NFL games. I remember years ago, Frank Gore taking off on a 90-yard run, and you're just watching this guy. Even junior college football, you go to a Sierra College game, a Sacramento City College game, an American River College football game, and you watch a game on the sidelines. Like, these guys are men. These aren't high school kids. You go to the Grant Folsom game last week, man, on ESPN with our 2 best teams in this section. They got a lot of guys who will be playing in college. Folsom's got 19 guys with Division I scholarship offers. Grant has 15. Those don't mean anything until somebody signs, but it means that they're on a radar. So yeah, there's, boy, you, it's so different on field level, or even in the stands than it is on TV.
Yeah. Well, I want to get back to that Folsom Grant game in a second, but one more thing on Sac State, and you were talking about their defense a second ago, Joe, which was, is amazing. Cause as we were talking to Brendan Marion yesterday, you know, when you look at those 70 plus players that have come in, it's, you know, the running backs, Rashad of the quarterback, they've gotten a lot of attention, but that number, that 70 plus number was split pretty evenly between the offense and the defense. And yesterday, coach could not stop talking about the trenches. He could not stop talking about that dirty, ugly part of football that leads to the sexy part of football that everybody loves to talk about. And to hear you say that these defenses were dominating the scrimmage, that to me feels like a little bit of an indication of what we might see this season from Go-Go Sacramento.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, there's, when you have 73 new guys and an army of guys through the transfer portal, there's a lot of these guys have a lot to prove. Whether it's Jaden Rashada at quarterback or Cordell Williams, who's also battling for the job, it's quite likely that Jaden starts tomorrow, but they'll both play. Marion has confirmed that. They're really trying to figure out. He really hasn't been able to settle on a guy for sure because the defense and the practices and the games have been blowing everything up, so that's encouraging there. But, yeah, there's nothing like motivation in football, and all these guys have something to prove, something to show. And for a lot of these guys, this is the last stop. You know, you can only transfer so many times. And, you know, in Sac State, in college football, we know this. People give up yards and touchdowns. And the good teams have some measure of good defense. And that's, you know, as all the talk of the go-go offense and what it means and innovative and prolific at all of Marion stops. But you got to be able to make stops or you're just going to get run over.
And we, now as we get back to Folsom and Grant, this is the most – you know, classic week one question you could possibly ask. Joe, that was an ass whooping. And the thing that we walked away with was, can anyone beat Folsom?
Yeah, it was quite the drilling. And Folsom this week plays at Seraph San Mateo. It's a powerhouse team in the Bay Area. They were in a state CIF Open Division game, which is the highest classification in this state, three times in the previous 4 years. Patrick Walsh, great coach, product of De La Salle. But they haven't beaten that team. And Sarah came up last season and played an early season game at Folsom and had graduated 18 starters and beat Folsom. So Folsom has to get over that hump. And then they'll soon play after that Mission Viejo of Orange County, which is state ranked higher than Folsom. So their schedule is murderous by design. I, you know, touching back on Grant, it was such a disappointment to see the Grant players lose their heads before the game. A couple of players ran onto the field and they're brushing players and coaches. And they've since addressed that, the district and the coaches. Carl Reed is a longtime coach there with the program, played there. They don't like that image. They have to fight against that image that, you know, they're a little bit reckless. And I think some of these kids, you know, we forget that they're high school kids. I think there's just too much exposure, if you will. There are some of these terrific documentary type film guys, and they do great work. And these kids love it. And they like to be seen. I'm talking about schools all over the place, all over California. And I think they just sometimes lose their heads. And the beauty of high school sports is, how do you respond? Is you know, Grant plays a powerhouse team tomorrow, the best team in Fresno. Central East is coming up. And if Grant doesn't buckle down, that team will do some butt kicking and send them right back to their locker room. And then De La Salle comes up in a couple of weeks.
Right.
So the Grant Pacers are aware that they have to be better, behave better, and perform better because they have a community in Del Paso Heights that has backed that program for decades. And they were disappointed with the effort on the field and the effort off the field. The extracurricular second half went without incident. But by that time, the game was over. 51-13 was the final for Folsom. And Folsom has Ryder Lyons, the five-star quarterback. If people haven't seen this guy, go to a game live because you'll be watching a guy who's going to be in the NFL. 6'3", 225 pounds. Never had anything lower than an A grade in any class in his life. Great maneuverability, great will to compete. I did a follow-up story on some of the behavior, and he said, I'm okay with it because I know those guys. Okay, so that kind of clears that up. So kudos to that for taking the high road. But it's not good to look for football in for this region when guys are losing their head before kickoff.
Yeah, Ryder Lyons is incredible, man. He's absolutely the truth. You just laid out that schedule that Grant has coming up, and you know, behavior and all of that extracurricular stuff aside, are they good enough to rebound with this schedule that they have and make another run here?
Yes, because it's Grant, because Grant's all about resolve. Grant, some of Grant's greatest teams over the last 35 years, had some section championship teams that had one or two losses, including a beatdown. And Grant got worked over last season at home by De La Salle and by Lincoln of San Diego, which went on to win a state championship, and they recovered. And they went on to win their third consecutive section championship and third consecutive Northern California championship. So this schedule is by design to toughen them up because they're going to be in the Metro League and they'll breeze through that league. And Grant's now in the Division I playoffs, moved up in division, used to be there years ago. So they could potentially see Folsom again in that playoff bracket, including Oak Ridge, which is our number three ranked team up in El Dorado Hills, a powerhouse program with Casey Taylor. So can they bounce back? They have no choice but to bounce back and playing behaving better and not just letting the moment get too big for them. But yeah, I could see Grant starting with one win and three losses or one win and four losses because of the schedule they have. But it's important to know, Damian, that those won't prevent them from getting into playoffs. If you don't win any league games, you can't go to the playoffs, sure. But they'll win probably all their league games. And this strength of schedule will help them with seedings in the playoffs because there's in effect bonus points, if you will, for teams that play ambitious schedules.
What are we looking for this week, Joe? What's the big game this week?
Well, that's the game. I've got Chris Biederman. Anytime I get Chris Biederman, I'm out to a good game. So he's going to do Grant and Central East out of Fresno. I'm going to do a different game. I'm always a big picture guy. So I'm going to go to Hughes Stadium at Sacramento City College and cover Davis Blue Devils of Yolo County against the McClatchy Lions of the Sac City Unified. And somebody go, well, why would you do that? Because these are two.
You owe Kenny Caraway a favor. That's why you're doing it, right?
That's exactly right. And you know, really, it's Kenny's mother.
Of course.
And she'll say, "Hey, do you listen to Kenny's show every day?" And I'll go, "Who?"
Yeah.
The story is that these are two powerhouse academic schools, good in other sports, but they have not competed in football. And how they are going about trying to be better as football programs. And I just think it's an interesting story. Both schools know that football is important. I did a story a couple weeks ago, Damien, in the B, on the whole formula for the high school model and making high school football so big on a campus or in a community in this region is the whole key is you don't need a Ryder Lions that helps. You don't need to be ranked. That always helps. You just need a competitive football team. You just need a team that is entertaining. And you think back to your high school days at El Camino. El Camino was entertaining. People go. They want to be entertained. If you have a bad football team that's not entertaining, people aren't going to watch. Mm-hmm. And so that's the goal that they're trying to achieve is let's get competitive. Because the other concern is if you don't get competitive in football, what do you do? Drop the program? We have quite a few football teams in Sacramento. About eight or nine of them are now playing eight-man football to save their football program. Well, what's the difference? 8-man, 11-man. It adds up, especially in the line. 8-man football, you only need 3 linemen. In 11-man football, you need 5 linemen. And I was talking to the Davis athletic director, Mark McCreary, earlier today, and he goes, we only have about 6 really legitimate linemen on a campus with 3,000 students. So I'm curious about that. And so I'll go check them out. We'll catch all the bruises and heavyweights the rest of the season. But I do have Nick Pecoraro checking out Wood Creek of Roseville and Whitney of Rockland, a couple of upstarts in Placer County.
Okay. Great stuff as always, Joe. We appreciate you carving out some time for us, and we're looking forward to another exciting season of Hornets football and, of course, your unmatched coverage in the high school game.
I appreciate you. It's always good to see you. Thank you for wearing the V shirt. It was that.
Oh, it's actually
Victory?
An X. Yeah, that's.
Oh, it's an X. I can only see half of it.
Yeah, that's the X. It's.
Okay, so it says X on the front, and then the back it says rated.
That's it. That's it. That's exactly what it says. Yes. I mean, everybody knows that's what you get with me. That's it.
I love it. I love it.
Appreciate you, Joe. Thank you, my man.
Always. All right, my friend. We'll
yes,
see
sir.
You.
All right. That's Joe Davidson, the Hall of Famer right there. Great stuff from our man, Jody. Ryder Lions. God, I got to get out to see Folsom play in person at some point this year. I got to get out to see Grant, too. I didn't see Grant till late in the season last year when they beat Rockland in a just absolutely epic high school football game. But great stuff from Joe. Excited for, you know, obviously things started with Folsom and Grant, but excited for things to get started for the Sac State Hornets. And Joe, just like Coach Marion was yesterday, was talking about the trenches. He was talking about defense, and that's going to be the conversation around the NFL for the next handful of days because of the Micah Parsons trade yesterday. And some of the remarks Jerry Jones made. Jerry Jones spoke for 46 minutes yesterday regarding this trade.
He loves this.
Oh,
he's enjoying every moment of it. I feel like he's like, all right, finally we got it. Jerry versus the people again, versus the media, whatever he wants to call it.
You brought this up yesterday, and I think you were 100% right. Like, how different would this all have been if that documentary hadn't aired right now? Like, he saw... You know, and I told you, like, it swayed me watching Jerry when he bought that team in 1988 or 89, whatever it was. When he bought that football team, and the Dallas media treated him the way that they did, talked about him the way that they did, and even more amazingly covered that football team the way that they did. To see him, you know, walk in there and fire everybody and everyone second guess him and Tom Landry and this and that. Like, people just ignoring the fact that Tom Landry wasn't a good football coach for several years. Watching the way all of that was handled, I feel like he saw it and felt the way that I did. Because I told you, the second I saw that, I was like, I think I get why Jerry acts the way that he acts. He was programmed that way from the second he bought that football team and then winning two championships, what, in his first 5 years as owner, then I think it was three in his first seven. Yeah, I'm gonna feel a certain way. You told me I was doing this wrong, and now look, I got three Super Bowl championships here after y'all told me I was doing this wrong. Between that, Herschel Walker and Emmett Smith, Jerry saw himself on that documentary and said, I'm bringing that guy back. When we look at, and I mentioned this with James and Kyle a few minutes ago, well over an hour ago, but you know what I mean. When you look at Emmett, Zeke, Dak, all of these insert cowboy player versus Jerry Jones. The player always wins. Dez, the player always won. This could have been a situation where, one, Jerry said, the player ain't winning this time. Which, because it's Jerry Jones, we all believe that that's possible. Because it's Jerry Jones, we all might just believe that it's likely. Or two, there was a realistic discussion about this not being best for the football team moving forward. And Jerry said this trade didn't just come about today. That could very well be true. Jerry said we have been talking about a trade for months. That may very well be true. It seemed that their first order of business, their first desired outcome, I should say, was to sign Micah Parsons and move forward. Remember, the fact that we're here is made even more incredible by the fact that I don't even know that it was a full week ago. It might have been this week. But when we brought up that Michael Irvin podcast, that's where Jerry said, we offered to make Micah the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. And that's ultimately what he wound up being by a lot, by I think $6.5 million over the contract that TJ Watt got earlier this offseason. But that was the deal that Jerry allegedly negotiated with Micah, and Micah wanted his representation to be a part of it, and Jerry said no. So how did you get, if you have considered a trade, if you have considered all of these things, if with what happened yesterday with the Green Bay Packers wasn't a near instant reaction, how did you get from that to where we are today? Those are the dots that I've had trouble connecting. Because you can rationalize, or you can attempt to rationalize all of Jerry's craziness. These two dots, though, don't connect. You said you were going to make him the highest paid non-quarterback. You said that you made an offer to be the highest paid non-quarterback. So at the very least, the contract was north of $41 million. But less than a week later, we're here. We'll talk a little bit more about Jerry. I saw a couple of things in the NBA I want to talk about as well. Plus, Eddie Gonzalez is going to join us. We always have great conversations with him. So there's much more ahead. Thrilled that you're here with us. Jesse's hanging out. Stilo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, taking a look at the Prize Picks app, man, they've got a lot of things set up for this upcoming season where you could have some fun. I'm looking at the Patrick Mahomes 2025 season number of 4,025.5 passing yards. You can set lineups for the entire season. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code KSFM. Get $50 in lineups instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Of course, when Kenny's here, he'll give you his promo code. But y'all might not notice, I rep Prize Picks too. I just rep it over on KSFM. So you can download the Prize Picks app today. Use the promo code KSFM. Get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. They got Bijan Robinson's rushing touchdowns number at 10.5 on the entire season. You can go more or less. Set your lineup. Pick more or less on 2 to 6 players. It gets a lot of fun during the NFL season. So, again, download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code KSFM to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks! Y'all think I'm doing that? Y'all are ridiculous.
Sorry, guys. Go
Y'all
home.
Are ridiculous.
Go home, guys.
Run
Sorry.
Your game.
Everyone go home. It's canceled.
I think I saw who was first, too.
Yeah, I started just in case.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sakarin. He's been on a run.
Sakarin on a run.
Yeah, real quick. Kyle Renata said he was going to be ready today. This was his message when you did the read. I don't know. Doesn't seem very ready to me.
Man, that's tough. That's tough, man. That's tough. I might just walk over to Kenny's little score pad and give Sakarin the win. The win for what? I'm not really sure, but whatever. Y'all living your life. You little run your game. And this is the final. We're about to change from the WWF
Monday,
to the WWE.
Yeah. This feels like though, when they brought WCW over and they did it for like the last hour of the show.
Oh, yeah. Buff Bagwell versus Booker T, I think.
Yeah, we're going to be getting that going forward. I think.
Yeah, that's tough. It's good to be right. It's good to be right indeed.
Zabel says he's retiring after today. Says he's not playing next week.
Understandable, as he should. I don't even know what he's retiring from. He started
if
all this.
Zabel, I will say, if you do come back and do play, you are the Brett Favre of this league.
Ah, that's tough. You never want to be the Brett Favre of anything. Like, ever. At all. You never want to be that. Oh, man. So, before the break, and we've got some NBA stuff I want to get to, especially since Eddie's going to join us in about, 35 minutes or so. We love talking NBA. Of course, Eddie talks football, boxing, wrestling, like, whatever. Eddie's just Friday vibes. But we were talking before the commercial break about how Jerry Jones got from making Micah Parsons the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL to trading him. And, we drew comps to the Khalil Mack trade. I think it's because all we could really come up with. And you don't see moves like this in the NFL often, especially at positions like that. And I think if this move had been made by any other general manager, any other team in the league, it would be looked at a little bit differently. There'd be a lot of questions. There'd be people wondering how we got here. It could probably just be stated as simple as they just don't want to pay the money. Team A doesn't want to pay Micah Parsons this amount of money. But because it's the Dallas Cowboys and because it's Jerry Jones, because we're on the heels of America's Team, I think that's what it was called, that documentary, and because we are on the verge of another season where Jerry's team is starting against the Philadelphia Eagles, he's in the marquee spot on Thursday night, he's back at the center of attention. Like, why would Jerry do this? And I feel like we had a pretty rational discussion in the days leading into the trade and, of course, in the immediate aftermath of the trade about whether Jerry Jones made the right decision for his football team. And you can talk general manager and all of that to death, but one thing we do know is Jerry Jones appears to be a good businessman. And when you talk about the business of the Dallas Cowboys, was this a smart business decision to move on from Micah Parsons? Now, it's been difficult when you see things like Micah, and I think this was a Schefter tweet last night, that Micah's one of 12 players, I think, to make the Pro Bowl in the first 4 years of his season. He's the very first one who will play for a different team in his fifth year. When you look at, like, all of his accolades up to this point, I think, Micah was one of two people to accumulate some sort of stat. The other one was Reggie White. I mean, it just makes Jerry look worse and worse and worse and worse. But the question I asked you is, what did you think about the Dallas Cowboys to begin with? Did you think the Dallas Cowboys were a contender? If we're using Kyle Madsen's tier system, his trademark tier system, where did you have the Dallas Cowboys in terms of a chance to win the Super Bowl? Did you think higher of the Dallas Cowboys than you did the San Francisco 49ers? Did you think higher of the Dallas Cowboys than you did the Green Bay Packers? I'm sure you didn't think higher of the Dallas Cowboys than you did the Bengals or the Bills or the Chiefs or the Eagles. What about the football team? Did you even think the Cowboys were the best team in the division?
I had them at third. But if that's the conclusion Jerry came to, and this is hindsight, then you should have traded Dak the moment $60 million came up.
See, that's where the real problem comes into play.
Because, yeah, you can keep CD and Micah around and build around that, bring in some young quarterback and kind of have the vets help him out like we've seen with other teams before. Like, if this is what we've the conclusion we've come to, then yeah, Dak was the one that needed to go.
But
all hindsight, it's all past.
But I'd make the argument with Dak, especially because he was first, I get why you did it. Like, I understand. All right. Quarterback, been been really good. He's won you some games, put up some big numbers. I get why you did it. If there was a seed of doubt placed, the one you shouldn't have signed was CD. That's the one you should have come up with the alternative to. Because you could have anchors at these two positions. We've wondered all last offseason, is there a way that the Cowboys could trade Dak Prescott? Whether it's for a pick, whether it's for picks, whether it's for players at different positions. And now Dak, like I forget, Dak's been in the league a long time. Like Dak, I think, is approaching, is Dak mid-30s yet or approaching mid-30s? Look real quick. Dakota is 32 years old. He's not old, but he's older. And now you're just in a position to where you're riding it out with Dak Prescott. You've lost your edge rusher, and you're begging to hit on multiple draft picks. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean it was the wrong decision. If you sign Micah Parsons to, we'll split the difference, 41, he got 46. Let's say they were offering 44 per. Let's say the guaranteed number was 130 instead of, I think it was 138. We'll say it was 130 instead. You're still, all of those things, you still have the highest average annual value. You still get all of those accolades as the guy, and you get them by a lot. What was that going to do for you? Micah put all of those numbers up because, remember, this is about winning a Super Bowl. Nothing else. You put all of those numbers up only for this team to wither away and die in the playoffs. There's no, like, the Dallas Cowboys have had Super Bowl, like, the Dallas Cowboys have had championship caliber teams over the last 5 years. We'll say four because that's Micah's group. Over the last 4 years, they've absolutely had championship caliber teams. But they've gotten their ass beat by San Francisco. They didn't even look like they belonged on the field with the San Francisco 49ers. When Debo in that damn bump box hit AT&T Stadium and them boys like shriveled up the way that they did, yo, that's not Micah's fault. That's not even Mike McCarthy's fault. How them dudes on the field react like that? I mean, if I'm going to put blame on somebody, it'll be, if I'm going to put blame on one of those two, it'll be closer to Mike rather than Micah. But it didn't get you nowhere, and Jerry chose to use the line yesterday that this move is designed to make us successful in the playoffs. He didn't say playoffs. I'm sorry. He said postseason. This is designed to make us successful in the postseason. Jerry has put a mountain of pressure onto Dak Prescott. This team almost certainly wins or loses by what Dak Prescott does this year. Kenny Clark, by all account, great football player, Pro Bowl player, all of those different things. Conversation with Kyle and James earlier, if you had made this move in early April where you had the opportunity to get a player on your roster right now to help you, conversation could be very different. Maybe it's just a little different, but the conversation's absolutely different. Because you have two football players coming in who could potentially help you, one in Kenny Clark, the other one being whoever you took in the draft. Now you've got to go through what is a Cowboy year. Successes, failures, and Stephen A. Smith. That's what you have to deal with. Mind you, this is Brian Schottenheimer's first year as their head coach. Hell, I talk about the pressure that Jerry Jones put on Dak Prescott. How about the pressure that Jerry Jones put on Brian Schottenheimer? You just remove one of his best players. Listen to D'Lo and Casey on KIFM, West Sacramento, KRXQ, HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Our man Eddie Gonzalez going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll switch gears. We're talking about, we're talking about owners. Matt Ishbia is approaching wild owner status. He might not even be approaching it. He might have eclipsed it a long time ago. Matt Ishbia says he doesn't care what experts think about the Suns this year because those same experts thought the Suns were going to be good the last 2 years.
Can you imagine Matt Ishbia was just sitting in his office the last couple of years like, these idiots think we're going to be good? We are going to suck this year. What is their problem?
Can you imagine thinking that was some sort of like burn? Like, oh, these guys are so dumb. I don't care what they think. They
thought we were going to be great. They were very wrong.
The Suns are a circus for a variety of different reasons, and I don't think they get acknowledged as such. But we could talk about them like switching directions. You know, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. We could talk about, all right, that didn't work. They're pivoting. They're going to something else. Great. You have pivoted like 5 times already. Wasn't Frank Vogel their head coach?
Frank, yeah.
I mean, Monty Williams was their head coach. Frank Vogel became their head coach.
Mike Budenholzer?
Mike Budenholzer's their head coach.
He still is, or did he?
No, he got fired.
Okay, yeah.
Nah, he's out. So now you're on your 4th head coach. Matt Ishbia had been the owner for like 5 minutes. In that time, you've brought in Kevin Durant and lost Kevin Durant. You brought in Kevin Durant and you traded Kevin Durant. You've brought in Bradley Beal and you had to buy out Bradley Beal. Where is this team going? I don't think they got even remotely a little bit better. Not even a little bit. And they're still, now I think they're over the cap, but under all aprons. And it's like, okay, so what's the direction here? Where are we going with Devin Booker?
Ishbia bought the team in 2022. This will be the 4th coach that's coached under him this year.
That's incredible. You said 2022?
Yeah, we're not even done with 2025.
And 40-year-old Jordan Ott is their head coach.
Good luck to him.
Good luck and thoughts and prayers, man. Because that is an interesting organization with an interesting owner.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.